say, Mike? Like, where the fuck you been, my guy?
Dealing with bullshit, bro.
Did you say your daughter was sick or some shit, man?
Yeah, dog. So she had caught a bug, bro. And that she don't be around kids, so that's I don't know how the fuck she got it. It was like a stomach virus.
You got a doctor's dope, my guy? Like, let me see some proof, man. What the fuck?
Why you need all that, bro?
Dog, I need a doctor's note. I need that shit to be verified by two nuns.
Nah, bro, you got my word, G. That's white, all you need.
White nuns only. I only believe in white people, so I need white nuns.
Bro, nuns are fucking scary.
Dog, this is trash, dog. Like, you don't come to the show every day, dog. Like, what the fuck is going on, man?
It's all right, bro. I'll be back the week after next, though. I'll find another excuse next weekend.
Garbage, dog. It sounds so sad.
Chamberlain, he's got it. I'm talking that street shit, man. And you and I, there's no good old gospel. You want somebody?
Broken hearts making $1 million lunch and pads. I'm from a neighborhood where niggas' attitude is fuck a dad. Where niggas only dream is about a stunt with shit they never had. But all they end up with is two baby mamas in a jag. Wearing bags while the neighbors pass, hoping it double fast. Real with your rent money, fuck it up your ass. Potato mansion from the past. Fuck up shooting head, it ain't no front and back. Stress awake to evil, now he hitting his homeboys for cash. No mansion, setting up scenes, he got an act. Class. Nigga get wrong with you and act mad, then go and count your cash. Sit sad, make you wish murder was an app on iPad. Download and press one button and kill your roach ass. My little nigga got three stripes, he ain't tucking no flags. Ever punched a tough nigga, made him tell jokes like Sinbad. Walked around your enemies, hood strapped like gym pads.
All right, WWFLIP, when we feel like it podcast, when we broadcast.
When we fucking feel like it.
Sean and Mike back in the building, what's good with you, Mike?
Not much, bro, what's going on?
Shit, chilling, man.
Glad to be back, dog.
And by the way, that Sauce Walker, that song is called Ghetto Gospel. I think it just released, pretty hard song.
You know, I listening to it into the intro, bro, that sample, that My Sanctuary shit, it's from a video game called Kingdom Hearts 2. That was the intro song to that game, bro.
Mike back on this nerd shit, man. We appreciate you, Mike.
Hey, bro, I'm just letting you know where the source material came from.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate you here, man. I told you. You're a wonderful guest, man. Almost a guest because he don't ever show up. But, you know.
Get the fuck out of here, bro.
Garbage as fuck. By the way, it's another gentleman in here who's laughing on the mic already. So
yeah.
You want to introduce
this man? Ain't even wait.
I couldn't hold back, bro. Yeah, you got Willie F here, No Boundaries Podcast.
Hey, don't be playing.
I gotta plug my shit.
Now, what's the name of the podcast again?
Nah, it's No Boundaries Podcast, man. It's something else. No, but it's I really feel like it's similar to y'all's, man. Like that's why I'm here. I feel like it's gonna be easy for me to jump in because we're the same, bro.
And by the way, I've known this guy for like damn near 20 years or something. Shit's crazy.
I want to say 95, 96.
I want to say I knew him. At first, he was ugly. And now he's now he ugly with a podcast. that's progress, man.
Bro, that's
that's growth.
That's the only way to be, really, to be honest with you. Got to embrace this ugliness.
And I've known this man for 20 seconds. So
it's all love, champ.
Yeah, it's all good, man.
But I want to ask y'all boys, man. Y'all heard the Eminem album?
Yeah, I listened to it this morning, dog, on my run.
What you think about it?
Why the fuck didn't he drop this opposed to that last shit that he came out with last year? That shit was horrible.
That shit was dumb garbage. Dumb garbage.
Yeah, horrible to the point to where I ain't listened past the singles, bro.
For sure. How you feel about it, Will?
Well, you already know. Sean, who's my favorite rapper? He knows. Who's my favorite rapper, bro?
Let me give y'all a little insight real quick.
Tell me your favorite album's a revival, bro.
Nah.
Oh, okay.
Let me give y'all a little insight real quick before Will speaks.
Yeah.
I've known Will, like I say, for over 20 years, and I knew that Eminem was his favorite rapper. So that's why, like, when I discuss Eminem, I make sure I dig a little deeper and make sure all my trash words are, you know, real emphasized. Because I know he going to hear it, and it's just funny to me.
Oh,
knowing
yeah.
that it's his
oh,
favorite yeah. rapper, and I'm just trashing this guy.
Oh, that's
and really,
great.
I'm not trashing him. He's really trashing himself with like garbage ass music. But you know,
but the thing about me is I'm a pretty logical dude, bro. And like I told you yesterday when we were texting, bro, like I never wanted to see Michael Jordan in DC. I never wanted to see him in the Wizards uniform.
Yeah.
So for me, like I've realized that in this era, we like when something new drops, we gotta listen. Mm-hmm. But I'm be 100 with you, bro. I ain't listened to an Eminem album since 07. Like I didn't like I felt Encore and I felt Relapse were a struggle for him, and I didn't even after that I was like, that's my guy, and he's gonna go down as the GOAT to me, and I'm done. I don't listen to any more of his music. I mean, Marshall Mathers LP 2 got a fucking Grammy for what?
That shit was
like
garbage,
seriously?
Bro.
Like, bro, and nobody said anything, and that bothered me because I'm like, yeah, I was tripping when Macklemore got a Grammy, and I really felt like Macklemore actually, you know, he put passion into the album. That was a decent album. Can't say it should have got a Grammy over Kendrick, but
yeah,
nobody blinked the eye when Marshall Mathers LP got a fucking Grammy, and I'm just like, we got to stop giving this man a pass. Now, is this new album that came out yesterday, is it fire? It probably is. I just don't care anymore.
Oh, you haven't listened.
The more I hear that, I'll probably give it a chance, bro, but I'm just saying, bro, like, I just... The people I hear he's beefing with, I'm like, come on, bro.
Yeah, bro. He's beefing with Tyler, the Creator. He threw shots at Joe Budden.
Drake,
and Machine Gun Kelly.
Plus a myriad of others. I've never used myriad before, but he just came out naturally.
This nigga said myriad. Wow.
Yeah, I think he shot slugs at Charlamagne and Academics, too.
It's just weird because also I'm making fun of Will about the whole Eminem shit, but actually he was one of my favorite rappers as well. Like I always say, I appreciate ability and content, and Eminem had both back in the day. And today, he just talking a bunch of gibberish and shit. And even on this album, it's a lot of gibberish within it, but it's a lot of lyrical, you know, ability in it though, to where you could appreciate it still. But overall, it's a solid album, but it's still not anywhere up to par to his older albums though. No.
What's his best album?
I would say his best album is probably Marshall Mathers LP and the 8 Mile soundtrack.
Eight Mile soundtrack was hard.
The 8 Mile soundtrack is probably the best showcase of his lyrical ability and good content, because the content was revolving around his actual life without the joking and shit in it. And it was also revolving around the movie, which is also revolving around his life, though.
I remember a quote that you told me when we were kids, bro. We was walking to the store. Believe it or not, bro. I'm gonna take it back, bro. Because growing up, Sean's favorite rapper was Twista. And me being from Chicago, that never bothered me. I was like, cool, Twista's your favorite rapper. That's cool. And but you told me after the Eminem show came out, you told me like Eminem show is his best album. Like that's his best album for black people. That's the black people's album. Yeah. Marshall Mathers LP was his greatest album, but for black people, Eminem show was pretty much when he got on, and it was like, okay, yeah, that nigga go hard.
I'm here. It was like his mission statement.
Exactly. So, and I've always agreed with that, bro. I mean, to this day, I listen to Eminem show more than Marshall Mathers LP, because I still feel like Marshall Mathers LP was more of a, it was so serious. He was serious as hell.
That was very serious, yeah, bro. Wasn't one of his videos like him jumping off the top of a fucking building?
I am, and he was just
falling down the whole time, passing by a bunch of different shit that was happening to him in the building.
Bro, too serious.
Yeah,
and like, he was already getting seated Jordans from a Jordan brand and shit. Yeah. He had the all white and chrome fours on in that video as well. And I'm just saying that because you know he was already like creating like cultural type moments to where people like, okay, I need those Jordans because Eminem type shit.
It was cooler then, though, bro.
He used to rock headbands and shit a lot, too.
Yeah, the Jordan, he used heavy. To rock the most tough.
Oh, that shit, man. And how y'all feel about the whole Eminem and Joe Budden beef? It's like a little conspiracy theory going around right now saying Eminem basically got Joe Budden fired from Complex, from Everyday Struggle.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
That's a weak conspiracy theory.
Joe
Budden has been getting himself fired for many years now, so it's kind of hard to relate it that closely. But I mean, it's interesting nonetheless.
I'm gonna be 100 with you, man. Like on a passion level, I don't think that I've ever heard anybody come to the mic like Joe Budden on a passion level. Like the mood musics were just they were beautiful, bro. And like I've always had Joe Budden up there as far as like mixtape gods. To me, he was one of those. Just like, you know, Jeezy, when he first came, he was just like, he made it different, but when it came to mixtapes and just having that free range to do whatever you wanted, 50 Cent, Jeezy, Joe Budden, and me, they were on another level, bro. That's back when we had the Justo mixtape awards. That was the shit back then. Like, and like that was a beautiful moment, and I think Joe Budden was one of those guys that was like, you had to give him his props.
I never listened to any of the Move Music stuff. Shit. The only thing I ever heard...
I believe you because you are garbage, but go ahead.
This man here. The only shit I ever heard from this man outside of Pump It Up was fucking The Ordinary Love Shit Part 1 through 3. And I thought that shit was phenomenal.
No, you need to hear like three sides to a story. You need to hear a lot of shit, man. Mood Music. Actually, Rage in the Machine. That's actually probably his best album. That's his complete body, a good complete body of work right there.
I've been hearing it. I heard his Slaughterhouse shit too.
It's way better than the Slaughterhouse shit.
It really is.
It's like, it has like a soulful sound to it. I can't explain it. You would have to hear it, but
he be on some other shit. Joe get real personal. So if you like personal, like if you like cats that get personal with their shit, Joe is the guy for you. But at the same time, his street beef and like battling, it was important because it was like, okay, Joe Budden would get out there with Murder Mook or something, and it was a big deal because Joe Budden was on the radio. Joe Budden was actually putting out singles, and it was just different, you know. So Joe Budden held his own in both arenas, in my opinion.
The way I see Joe is, he was always battling for the art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody else was battling in terms of their ego, their persona.
So? You think Cassidy was?
Cassidy was a different... I mean, like, not even in terms of battle rap. I just mean, like, in terms of the art of rap. Like,
yeah.
He was battling, like, other artists and shit, like The Game and all these other cats.
Mm-hmm.
And it would always go back to street beef, and it was, like, you know, about to throw hands or people that got... Like, his beef with Ransom and shit.
He got punched, right?
Yeah,
he got punched in the face.
Ransom punched Joe Budden's, like, cousin or some shit, slapped him. Well, the man Ransom was with. And you can see in the video, Ransom was real, like, reluctant. He was like, damn, I ain't want that shit to go that far. But then, you know, Ransom ended up shooting in the air or some shit. And he ended up going to prison after that. And then for, like, years, they were kind of like a little undercover beef. And then they kind of patched it up. And now they on good terms and shit, but... All his, then, you know, he had the Wu-Tang shit where he got punched in the face, Joe Budden, that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, he always had a weird relationship with the streets because he was kind of like battling for the sake of the art and who could produce the best content in art. And everybody else was taking it like, you trying to stop my food, so it's just, I'm going to just beat the shit out of you type shit.
Yeah, yeah, and they kind of treated him like a crackhead because that's kind of his background. He was a wethead.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they never let that go. It was like, man, I'm not finna let this crackhead, you know, come in here and like try to take a spot. But I mean, he was with Desert Storm and he was doing his thing, dog. But to get to the point, the conspiracy theory thing, I really feel like Joe Budden is it's very surprising to me that he got the Spotify deal.
How do you feel about the Spotify deal, by the way?
I feel like it's cool for the culture.
I fuck with it, especially whenever they pointed out the fact that it's still going to be free for everybody. They said that was one important thing to them, so I thought that was pretty dope.
See, when y'all talk about genius shit, that's what I call genius shit. He held out on sponsorships and all the other shit to ensure that he got the best deal for him type shit. That was genius level shit. Like, a lot of shit that other cats call genius, I don't see the genius in it, but this shit, I could see, like, that was... It's an obvious blueprint to what he did because he was doing like live reads and shit in his podcast every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was joking the whole time through it to where they probably didn't even get paid for it because he didn't even put he was making fun of the company while reading the ad to the company.
Yeah.
So I don't know if a lot of people caught like the earlier podcast episodes, but I was listening to Joe Budden's podcast early, even before he had Marl and everything on the show. People think the current iteration of the show is how it started off.
Nah, it started off with him, Rory, and a girl, huh?
It was him and Marissa first.
Oh, shit.
And then Rory came. He was like, Rory was like behind the scenes. And then Rory started being on the camera and on the mic more. And then he fired Marissa, and it was just him and Rory. And then it started being like him, Rory, and Marl, and another cat named Ice. And if y'all don't know Ice, Ice is Arsenal's brother. Arsenal is a battle rapper for the URL and other... battle leagues
this,
and shit.
Is this podcast still called I'll Name It Later?
Nah, it's the Joe Budden podcast.
Yeah,
it's
the
Joe Budden podcast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Ever since he got popular on Everyday Struggle, he changed the name to Joe Budden Podcast.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, man.
It used to be called I'll Name This Podcast Later.
I don't even think they recorded in the same place anymore. They had somebody's house now.
Yeah, it's in Parks. In Parks' house now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm be honest with you. I mean, I always, like, I'll catch snippets of Joe Budden's podcast just mainly because I'm more listening to local podcasts. I appreciate the big time podcast, but I only listen to snippets of their podcast because I know the better episodes are going to become controversial and they're going to trend. So I don't have to really worry about it. But I'm keeping up with your podcast. I'm keeping up with
and people, we appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm keeping up with people's podcasts I fuck with. And I think that's important for the culture as well because it's so many people that are support. The Joe Budden podcast, Joe Rogan, and the big motherfuckers. It's like, bro, it's little motherfuckers trying to get up there too. If we're not supporting each other, then what's the point?
That's straight.
It's just like rap, bro. Like it's what maybe Sean know I used to rap. So when I was rapping, if we were all chasing Slim Thug, chasing Swish House, that ain't doing nothing for us. We're making them bigger and we're staying small.
And we grew up with these gentlemen, by the way,
too. Yeah. Yeah, you know,
Magno and all these cats, like we knew them.
Like, yeah, that's crazy, bro. And look what happened, you know. And that's just a prime example. Like, we gotta support each other. Like, that's why I appreciate the fact that when I turn the show on, you're playing a Houston artist, which actually shocked me because I didn't even know you listened to Houston rap. Be real with you,
straight
up.
See,
that's go ahead. You put me on a new shit, like the cat that you went to church with,
Toby
the Wiggly. The girl that we had on our last episode, they're real close friends. Like,
oh, for, really?
Yeah, she put me on him.
Really?
So I was like, you know, I like his flow. You know, I feel like he'll get to a level of crit. Maybe I don't think he'll ever become mainstream, which is great. I don't think mainstream is always necessary.
Yeah, he's already been on Sway in the Morning.
BET, right?
Yeah, he's been on BET. He just had his first like big show at the White Oak Music Hall.
White Oaks, yep.
Yeah, that shit actually looked pretty lit. I wish I would have went, but I got a fucking kid and stuff. So, yeah, I got to stay in the house.
Yeah.
I can't go outside.
What's the status of your daughter? Is she okay?
Oh, bro, she's alive and well. Her other front tooth started growing in, so she don't look retarded no more.
She teething. That's tough, man.
Yeah.
That get them sick, too, so I know how that
is. Yeah, it was a mixture of a stomach virus and her teething, bro. So the fever was on max. She was like spewing out of both ends, bro. It was wild. That actually happened to my cousin's daughter too. So, and they're not even around each other. So, like Sean was telling me yesterday, he was like, it was probably just something in the air. But to the listeners and to you, bro, you actually gonna find this funny. My name is actually Michael Watts.
Of course, I find that funny.
Yeah,
that shit's crazy.
That is crazy, dog.
Yeah, bro.
That shit's pretty trash. It's pretty garbage. I don't like that shit. I don't appreciate that shit for some reason.
It's all good, bro.
I'm pissed off. I don't know why, but I am quite upset.
Straight, bro. I'd hate me too if I was you.
A man so garbage, just with a name so prominent. I don't like that, dog. He's uncomfortable.
Yeah, bro.
What is Watts up to these days?
I have no idea, man.
Is he on 97.9 still?
I know. It's kind of a change of subject, but I know ESG is like doing comedy and shit. Like some of these cats is doing comedy and shit like that.
I saw that for sure.
As far as Watts, he might be on the radio, I believe. He still might be on the radio, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I don't know, honestly.
Wow. Yeah, me neither. I haven't listened to Houston radio in a long time, bro.
And speaking of kids, though, like, I don't know why, like, growing up with Will, when he had his son, I used to always make fun of Will for being responsible for some reason. I don't know why that she was always. Because I knew Will before he had a kid. And it was like, this asshole has a kid. Like, this dude is a fucking maniac, and he has a son. I'm like, holy shit, this shit is crazy.
Legit fucking maniac, bro. Like, I had no like filter, no, I had no sense, bro. Like, seriously, but a kid will change you like a motherfucker. Like,
oh, you have no idea, bro.
You know,
I used to always just call this and I'm like, dog, you're responsible, dog. You're a father, dog. I would have nothing to say. I would just say that, dog, repeatedly.
I wouldn't recommend it though. Just be
yeah, straight up, man. Kids are great, but
boy,
yeah, wait on it,
man. It's 2018, bro. Shit is not. It's not gonna get any easier, dog.
How? Actually, Will, what's the status of your relationship status right now? Pause.
Wow, I'm single, bro. What do you mean?
Like, how do you, like, how do you look at the dating game right now? How you feel about it?
I feel like the dating pool is trash, and it's. I mean. I feel like somebody seriously seeking a partner right now, they're basically in a landfill. You're digging through dumpster shit, bro. You're just digging through trash. mostly. And if you find that gem, dog, you got to hold on to it. And more than likely, if you find that gem, I guarantee you, bro, like, it's about a 75% chance something gonna go wrong. Also, I don't hope that on anybody. I just see it all the time now.
What kind of women do you look for? Like, what kind of women do you narrow your search down to?
I mean, if I'm honestly like looking, bro, like I'm big on reciprocation, bro. So if like I don't want a female that's clingy as shit, but at the same time, I also want a female that if I give you something, you're willing to give back. You know, like simple shit, bro. Like, this could sound gay, but I guess I gotta say pause or no homo. But you really want your chick to be down to earth like one of your niggas, bro. Like, it gotta be that simple.
It really does have to be, bro. Me and my girl come a long way, bro. The look on his bro. Face, bro. Yeah, pause.
And you might hear a weed whacker right now. A motherfucker's like right in front of my spot, like cutting grass or some shit right now.
Hey, so bro, chill. It's my cousin, bro.
I don't know if you're gonna hear that, man.
It's a podcast, bro. Shit happens.
I asked Felipe to calm that shit down, man. It's all good. But go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, bro. That's really important. Me and my girl have come a long way. I think both of us have been somewhat controlling at points and times in our relationship. But since then, we've grown a whole lot.
How long have y'all been together?
Surprisingly, bro, we've only been together for like 2.5 years. And I already got a 1-year-old daughter. Like, my daughter was not planned at all, G. But, you know, me and my girl rock together real hard. So when she told me that she was going to decide to have the baby and everything, like, I'm pro. Like, yo, that's your choice. That's your body. Either which way, I'm cool with it.
Did you learn that from a Beyonce song?
Nah, bro. Oh, I just learned that from being real, bro.
Oh, okay. I thought that was like an album cut. Go ahead.
But yeah, since then, you know, we've had our ups and downs. But yeah, that whole down to earth shit, it's been real on point as of late. And yeah, bro, I feel that shit all the way.
Like, what type of shit do y'all get attracted to from the women that y'all choose to be with? Like, let me see, how do I want to say this? Like, for me, like, ladies, if you don't know how to play Mario Kart, I can't fuck with you. You're trash.
See, that's some down-to-earth simple shit that one of your homeboys know how to do, though.
If you're not cold with toads, dude, I don't want to know you.
Wow. Remember, what was the game I used to use? Jigglypuff? Remember I used to use Jigglypuff?
You probably talking about Smash Brothers or something.
I used to kill niggas with Jigglypuff, bro.
Dog, but that's real. Like, I'm serious. Like, if you don't know how to play Mario Kart, we probably not going to get along. If you have a pet, I probably don't want to talk to you.
If you can't fuck with horror movies, for me, dog, I can't fuck with you. I mean, I do it, but at the same time, like, I hate when a female just, oh, if I watch a horror movie, blah, blah, I'm not going to be able to sleep for 3 days. I'll be like, grow up. It's a fucking horror movie, dog. Like, I like movies, so if you can't fuck with movies, I can't fuck with you.
All right, hold on, bro. So if you watch a scary-ass movie, you're not going to be paranoid just for a little bit?
Bro, I had a nightmare like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Like, I watch, any of y'all seen Babadook?
Bro, that movie fucked me up, dog. I watched that shit when I was drunk, dude.
Bro,
out of there, bro.
That nigga woke me up. I was in my living room. I fell asleep in my living room, and the monster from Babadook, he woke me up and told me to go to my room. That shit was terrifying, bro.
Is this on Netflix or anything?
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix, bro. I think it's an Australian film. That shit was creepy the first time I watched this shit, man.
Terrifying, bro.
Once I read on what it was about and what the monster actually is, I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's an interpretation. Cool, but... Yeah, bro, if you don't know what the fuck that is and it's just that dude, man, hell no, that shit is scary.
I could a woman some slack, don't get me wrong, but I'm like, come on, you gotta come on.
Yeah, don't not sleep for 3 days. what's wrong with you?
that's bullshit. You're definitely not gonna be cuddling under me
because you're terrified of some make-believe shit. But I mean, I guess it all depends on how your spirit is, too, because some people's spirits are easily tainted or affected by seeing It the Clown. You know, it is what it is.
How do you feel about... let me see where I want to go with this. I'm trying to think, man. Like, what do y'all look for in women, though? Like, what all do you need?
I mean, I'll be real with you, bro. Like, I really don't be looking like that. But the shit that catches my eyes, man, like, I'm definitely, like, I'm looking at a body, and then like I'm not really out here trying to mess with sloppy females, you know. If you're looking at it from a shallow point, but when I actually
by the way, well, it's like a workout of holiday shit. This motherfucker tried to give me an organic carrot before he came in.
Get the fuck out.
I was like, bro, get this shit out of my face, man.
I was scared this man was about to body shame me. I told y'all I was husky. I got a pillow covering myself. Pause.
Bro. I was real shocked that, like, when I saw you and I'm hearing what the doctor told you, I'm like, bro, like, that's crazy. Because, like, these European doctors, dog, and their standards are amazing. Because it's like, it's nowhere in the world that they could consider you obese or overweight. Like,
yeah,
they're basing it off old body types and shit.
They gotta be, because it's just not realistic anymore with the food we eat. But at the same time, what they're really doing is they want you to be at peak performance. Like me, I'm considered overweight. But if I was built like Steph Curry, then they would look at me like, oh, you're perfect. Because at 6 foot or 6'1", they want you to be like 180, 185, maybe like even 190. But you gotta think about how much body mass it is. It's not a lot. So that means that you'll be able to move, you know, the flexibility will be perfect, all kind of shit. Like, they want you to be at peak performance, but that's not meant for everybody. Like, for what?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm actually training for a marathon next year. I deferred my application this year to go next year. So,
man, that's tough, man. That's tough. I heard that. I was like, God damn, this boy wanted, what, 16 miles? What is it, 16 or 20?
Nah, 26.
26.
Yeah, 26.2, bro.
And he does run a lot. Like, he used to always run when we working together and shit, too.
Yeah, I was a lot skinnier back then, too. Like, real thin, bro.
Them kids, though, in a relationship would do that to you, though.
Boy, yeah. But I'm actually losing weight now. I'm 202. I was at 205 or 208 whenever they weighed me. So I'm losing
weight. And what do they want to get? They want you to get down to what?
Well, they didn't ask me to get down to anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
they just said lose
weight.
They just said get healthy.
Yeah, so I'm trying to get down to, like, 155 just so... I'm trying to work on my speed and my distance now, so when I'm lighter, it'll be a lot easier.
Damn, that boy said 155.
Yeah, bro.
They go disappear on him.
Damn. Wait, bro, I'm only 5'9".
Oh, okay.
That's about where he was when we were working together.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Damn. So what they wanted me to focus on was getting my blood pressure down, and that actually has already gone down a lot. It was at 144 when they did it. I checked it a week or so ago, and that shit was at 124.
Okay.
So now that I'm being more active, I'm straight about
that's
to be up. Here for the long,
that's
for the long
up,
run.
The long run. Make it to 75, 80 years old?
Yeah, hopefully.
What's up, man?
Yeah, bro, living to shit, making it to 70 is actually impressive these days, which is crazy.
Yeah. I was reading a book, man, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. And like that dude, I forgot his name, it's not important, but like he's like so obsessed with living to 120. He really, really feels like human beings, that's our threshold.
Expiration date.
Yeah, that's where we should be getting to. And I'm just like, why? Like, in this economy, too, like, in this world we live in, why does somebody want to really live to 120, bro?
That's what I want to ask y'all about, like, the whole Madden shooting and everything. How y'all feel about that type of shit?
That shit was wild, bro.
The what shooting?
The Madden. It was a Madden tournament. You didn't hear about that?
Was it in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it was, I believe, Jacksonville, Florida. Mm-hmm. There was a Madden tournament, and a guy lost. And he shot the tournament up.
I didn't know that he was even a part of
on
it.
On Twitch, live on Twitch.
What kind of shit is that,
he
bro?
He killed like 4 people, I believe, and injured like 10 people.
Bro, and they was talking about, well, back in the day, he showed signs of mental illness. I was like, bro, get the fuck out of here, dog.
That's what I'm aiming towards. Like, how do y'all feel about mental illness?
I believe it's too loose, bro.
Do you believe it's a thing or it's a problem?
It's always been a thing.
It's always been a thing. It's always been a problem. But how people are using it to sway certain images of certain people.
I believe it's a thing, but I believe mental illness is really just a side effect of an ill society. We have ill societal problems. Our societal health is not healthy.
I mean, it starts in the home, bro. If you're in the home and let's just say you come from a home where it's just peaceful every single day. Like, it's just perfect. You live in a perfect household. Mr. Rogers type shit. And then you walk outside in New York. Bro, that's fucking chaos. Something's going to sit. It's going to be a trigger. It's gonna, hold on now. Something ain't right. Like, this is not the perfect world I'm used to. So you got to think about, you know, children from that. They're coming from that innocent state that they come from. Mm-hmm. And they actually transition over into the real world, bro. That shit's tough now, bro. Like, I believe mental illness is just... People hear mental illness and think mentally retarded or something. They don't really know the actual definition of the word, but I feel like we all have our own mental ills because we deal with society in different ways.
Definitely. It's all about how the individual digests what they're around, their surroundings, products of their environments, pretty much.
like growing up, like me and Will grew up in the same neighborhood after he moved from Chicago. Will's from Chicago, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's from Chicago and he moved to Houston, obviously. And we were living in the same area for maybe about like 10 years or so, something like that.
At least. Yeah.
And we would be outside all day, every day.
Yeah.
Doing all types of wild shit. I'm talking about just shit we can't even say on the podcast.
Straight up,
yeah. Boys was on the block
on a daily basis, dog. Like it was some wild shit.
But it was fun though.
Absolutely.
I don't really feel like people were in harm with the shit that we were doing.
But that's what I'm getting to. Like it went from a transition to where it went from fun to where people started looking at it as like a viable profession. And then that's when shit started getting different. Like, consequences start coming in and shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And things, like, it's hard to explain, but it's like okay, you had to make a conscious decision. Like, okay, am I going to really just hang with these people anymore? Or, like, what's going on? Like, shit's really changing now.
Shit changed when money got involved. That's one thing. Like, that changed the whole dynamic of almost everything. Like, niggas start getting older and start seeing cats with different things. And it was like, okay, I got to get on my shit because I want that, too.
Yeah.
So that just changed the whole mentality thing. And that could be seen as a mental illness, bro. Like just the want or the need to have money sets off a trigger in certain people.
That's what I was getting at. Like one day I was walking to my friend's house and we were walking together and he was knocking on his door to get into his house and his dad came out and started drilling him, punching him in the chest, beating the shit out of him.
Bro, why?
Then he just took him in the house and closed the door and that was like the end of the day.
I just
walked home. And then years later,
I know exactly what you're talking
about. Years later, I'm working at this warehouse, and guess who comes in? My friend's dad. He has to listen to me. I'm telling him what to do type shit. This man has to be like 50 or something. And he was an alcoholic, an alcoholic to the point where if he stopped drinking, he would die type shit.
Damn.
And he had to listen to me. And his son and everything that he was like beating up and shit was in jail. His other son, jail. The smallest son, I'm not sure what he's doing right now. He's in jail now.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like
he was the worst. The youngest is the worst. Trust me.
Right. They always the worst.
He was horrible, bro.
Dog, we would be hanging out at the park. It'd be like 10 o'clock at night. And the little 5-year-old would be riding his bike to the park by himself. 10 o'clock at night.
In that neighborhood, yeah. To come get him. Yeah, that shit is tough, man. Like, to speak on alcoholism, too, dog, like, don't get me wrong, I drink from time to time, but I've had my moments where like it clicked and I was like, bro, like I see how cats become alcoholics. And I've actually thought about his dad. It was two of them in the neighborhood, two alcoholics in the neighborhood. One of them died. And when I think about alcoholism and the way people like think the shit is funny now,
yeah,
that shit bothers me like on a whole nother level, dog. Like there's nothing funny about that shit, bro, because like people get super fucked up, get behind wheels. And like they go into a household where they're supposed to be responsible, like, and they can't do it, bro. Like you cannot function like that off alcohol, bro. And like it's amazing to me how like from where me and you come from to where like alcohol was like it was a shameful thing.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, like it was a shameful thing. People try to like kind of hide that shit. But now, bro, like you go online, bro, people popping bottles like it's fucking people brag about popping bottles more than they brag about drinking water. Like,
I was listening
to y'all last week and let y'all talk about the different waters and shit. I'm like, come on, Mike. He know water tastes different. Like,
yeah,
bro. Trying to give you a hard time, bro. Let's tell you.
No, straight
come on,
up, bro.
Come on. Aqua hydrate.
It's a lot of people like that, though, bro. It's a lot of people.
I know the water tastes different, but what I was trying to tell Mike is, naturally, a lot of this water probably wouldn't have tasted different, but it's just, they're doing shit to market it differently.
Of course.
Well, then what does natural water taste like then, Sean?
But that's what
I don't know, my dog. That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm telling you.
That's why you gotta go with the other waters, bro.
No, my God. You're not making sense.
Spread your variety.
None of that shit is natural, is my point.
I think once it's bottled, it's what you're saying. Once it's bottled, it's no longer natural. But for me to actually go to a stream in Wyoming and like just put a cup in there and drink that, bro, like that's a whole other level of natural. Do I really want to drink that?
Bro. And that might be a little dangerous, bro.
Exactly.
So y'all tell me y'all never drink the waters of Lake Minnetonka. You never done that?
Probably not, bro.
Trash.
Is that something you would do, Sean?
I was scared, bro. Prince was on some other shit, bro. The level he got to, I don't want to get to. He can keep that water.
Man, Prince was so cold, they had to kill that man and say he didn't have a will. That shit was crazy.
That shit is
wild. That's a real conspiracy theory. Like, that's a conspiracy theory. Like Joe Budden and Eminem, that's not a conspiracy theory to me. Like,
yeah, not
Joe
at
Budden,
all, bro.
Joe Budden literally gets fired because he's behind the times. He got fired because every time he came across a Lil Yachty or Migos, they looked at him kind of how you look at Sean. You feel like
that
Sean,
man's
always
hating.
You always hate, but that's how we are, bro. Like we look at the younger generation and we're like, what the fuck are they doing? And I understand Joe Budden, but on a mainstream level, Joe Budden, he wouldn't make it. Podcasts aren't mainstream like that. Even I could actually say his podcast has a cult following. Everybody not checking for Joe Budden. People, if you go on Instagram, one of those bullshit sites like The Shade Room or Baller Alert, they hate Joe Budden. But that nigga just got a big ass deal. I'm like, oh, how the fuck he do that?
He just got a deal, and then on top of that, his girl, bro, she's like Fashion Nova goddess. Like a lot, she has a big following too.
He's the hottest right now with the right kind of people.
Yeah,
the people they want to market to spend a lot of money, so mm-hmm. that's why they're targeting Joe Budden's audience.
Who's that?
They spend money.
Who's that?
Basically, young black people.
You sure?
Black women, older black women, young black women.
I think he has a nice white following too.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's more like a hip hop centric thing, like to where people gonna be buying tennis shoes, people gonna be buying fucking hats and shirts and all that kind of shit. You could promote
thing.
To them easy.
I haven't heard any any white people I know, at least, or I haven't seen too many white people put on for that show at all either.
For instance, like Joe Budden's podcast is not really one of the biggest podcasts. It's really like Joe Rogan's and all these kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like one YouTube video of Joe Rogan is going to get like 5 million views type shit.
Yeah.
The YouTube link. Not even counting the iTunes and, you know, whatever other platforms.
I'm going to say this, Mike. You said something. You hit it like right on. You hit it right on the nail, bro. Like, you gotta think about something. And why would a white person come to you tell you what type of podcast they listen to?
Okay.
And I'm only saying that because it's almost like for them it's nothing. It's like when you come across a black girl that brags about her master's degree and a bachelor's degree. It's something big to them. It's something that for a long time they weren't used to. But like when you come across white people, like I don't know what white people listen to Alex Jones. I don't know why people listen to Joe Rogan. They just do it. It's nothing to talk about. But when black people do something, they feel like it's unique, or people of color do something, they feel like it's unique, they're going to talk about it. They're going to kind of brag about it. That's how we know who listens to the Joe Budden podcast, because one, Joe Budden is a black podcaster, so it's a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just my opinion. And I just kind of feel like, I guarantee you, bro, most people that listen to podcasts, they're probably podcasters, or they're probably a certain, you know, demographic of people, and it's probably real diverse, but I'm almost certain there's more white people though. It's hard to, man, I've been doing this shit for 2 years now. It's really it's really, really hard to get our people to listen to podcasts, but like it's for some of them it's just boring. It's like they'd rather just listen to Charlamagne and them because it's more convenient. It's on the radio. And
even that, bro. It's more animated.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like a lot more animated.
And I don't mean the stereotype, but this is my personal experience. Like most of our listeners on our show, like Hispanic, white, mostly women, not a lot of dudes. You know, it's a few dudes, but it's the dudes we know. Like,
yeah.
it's crazy, though. It's crazy.
Our viewers are pretty low, so I mean, I can't really dissect it. We probably have a few women sprinkled in here and there, but I'd probably say our listenership is probably mostly dudes, probably.
That y'all
yeah.
know. Right
I
now,
know
I
it's
believe,
a lot of
so.
Homies for sure, because...
Yeah.
But
I know it is a couple of ladies listening, and if y'all put up with our bullshit, we appreciate it, because I know we probably hard to listen to at times. I'm not sure. I don't ever know what people like. I just got to go with my heart and say what is on my mind, so I don't know exactly what people gravitate towards when they do listen, but we do appreciate y'all for listening.
You live in an era where people want to live behind the avatar. So that's why you don't know what they like, but just know that when you see those plays are going to go up more and more every week. And as those plays go up more and more, you're wondering, like, damn, what did you think about this episode? Yeah, they're not going to say nothing, because
mm-hmm.
it's a good chance that if they have a SoundCloud account, they don't want you to see that it's them listening. They're kind of scared of that. So people are just more anonymous these days. People rather be anonymous these days. They just going to come back, and that's all you need to know.
Straight up. And there's a lot of people that make, like, fucking fake pages to troll on people, dog. That shit is wild.
Bruh. That shit is annoying.
Sean's people, dog. Bullies.
Oh, man.
Sean's people.
What
bullies,
was that page,
bro,
you used to always put me on, bro? It was a Nike page.
Nike Talk?
Nike Talk. Nike Talk, man. Like,
yo, Cass and Ed be wilding.
That, but when you first were in there, were they always like that?
Nah, it was like a family.
back then. But once all the hype started getting up, I'm pretty sure that's when everything took a hard fucking left.
When money hit the streets, that shit was like the crack epidemic. Like, it got real dirty. People on there that was a member on there for like 10 years plus start selling fake shoes to people and all kind of shit. Ripping people off, scamming people. All kind of wild shit. Like,
that's why if I buy my shoes from anybody else, I normally get them from him. Because I know him.
People done got hurt behind this like shoe shit for real.
I mean, you know, I mean, I haven't heard anybody getting hurt over Yeezys yet. Is that something that's happened?
Oh yeah,
it's happened before.
Oh, okay.
As of late, but, or at least not that I've heard.
What about you? Just like an offer up and let go type of thing. The apps where you sell shit.
Okay.
People getting set up to get robbed. It's not necessarily the particular item. It's just like a means to set people up in whatever item they're looking for.
Okay.
Shit, I remember when the 11s were popping.
It's easier to target shoes because a lot of younger people are looking for the shoes. So you can fuck over a younger cat easier than you can a grown man. So a lot of kids get fucked off behind the shoe shit.
I brought up Nike Talk basically to just say like, I hear things nowadays, and I've never been a member of Nike Talk, but yeah. I'm almost certain that when you used to tell me about it, it seemed like a family. But like now, like some of the stuff that I've heard or just came across, it just really feels like it's a more aggressive type of network now, and niggas are competing with each other, and it just seemed like the culture changed drastically.
There was real success rates from Nike Talk and other places that I was on early. That's why I had to start hopping in the game and start, you know, try to get some money flowing in from my creativity, because on Nike Talk, I met a lot of people like Wale. I knew Wale before he was like really rapping from Nike Talk.
Mm-hmm. His name, when he was wearing Forces all the time.
His name was I Love Hip Hop 89 or some bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And after they found out that was really Wale, they was torching this man. But anyway, Dom Kennedy, originally from Nike Talk.
Mm-hmm.
I had another website I used to frequent called On Smash. On Smash was really the original World Star Hip Hop. They created their video format before World Star.
This is 50 was World Star before World Star.
This is 50 came off On Smash. They copied off their format too.
Because it was just a blog.
Because actually, 50 Cent, I believe, was reading my comments from On Smash. Because he started saying stuff that I was saying off the website. I swear to God.
No, that's believable.
I mean, swear to God. I was saying word for word. I'm like, dog, this man's listening to what I'm saying. Like, he's reading my shit.
He's been frequent on the internet, period. Like, that's a lot of them cats they're nerds. They just don't want to come off that way when you see him in person.
Bro, ASAP. 50 Cent is probably one of my favorite fucking celebrities on the internet.
Personality-wise.
Bro.
Oh yeah.
For sure.
I feel like if anything, he's more relatable than a lot of these cats because like he doesn't give a shit. Like he's in a position to where he's like, "Hey, I'm going to say some shit. You can hate me for it. But guess what? At the end of the day, I'm still 50. I'm still rich."
Bro, there was a video of a stripper telling something to this man after he had threw some money. I guess he ain't like what she said. So he was like, "All right, fuck this." He took all the money back and then walked away.
Yeah.
That shit is hilarious.
That's some shit that we would do.
I would have never gave the stripper my money in the first place.
That's true. That too.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all was just there for the chicken wings or something?
Nah, I'm not eating
at strip clubs.
I've never done that before.
Can you eat at a strip club?
I haven't been to a strip club in probably like 10, 15 years.
Last time I went to a strip club was with Dominique and them. That was
around the last time.
Yeah, I just never felt comfortable in a strip club environment, bro. I don't know why. It just feels weird. And the niggas be in there eating buffets. We're like, bro, really?
Yeah, bro. I've seen some wild shit in there, my gentleman. Like, I was around a crew of gentlemen that was doing some real wild shit. Like, they were doing like bachelor parties and shit. Like, at people's houses and shit, and stripper parties at their houses and shit.
Were you there that night?
And people were doing, I don't know what night you're talking about.
The night the Heat won the finals.
The finals?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
The dude got killed on the street.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I thought you was there.
I don't think I was there.
Yeah,
I was.
We witnessed the murder.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's.
He had cameras and shit on some Tony Montana shit before this home security shit was popular.
Yeah.
Before the camera shit was popular. He had it already, and you know.
Katrina, what happened was Katrina came out. Like, after Katrina, a lot of cats came out here, and, like, we had this dude that stayed on my street that basically was a burlesque. You could say like a burlesque house, or like you said, it was a stripper party type
shit.
Nah,
these women pulling beads out their hind parts, and they full-blown naked.
This man called it a hind part.
They sleeping with gentlemen right in the middle of the living room floor. He had a stripper pole in the living room, DJ booth in the living room. Everything.
So he was having like an orgy or something?
Basically.
Yeah, he was taking this door to door. And I'm seeing men who are getting married tomorrow sleeping with women. I'm seeing women that are getting married tomorrow sleeping with men. That's why my whole perception, like, it took me like 2 or 3 years to even trust women after that. Because I'm hanging around these guys for like years and shit. Like, people don't even know this. I've never even talked about it, really.
Yeah, real, you ain't though. Tell me none of this shit. And I'm...
That's what I'm like. I've been around some, like, the shit I be saying on this podcast is not from like some guesstimation type. This shit I've lived, I've seen this shit.
I'm wet behind the ears right now, bro.
Like, this man used to call me and have like girls audition on me and shit, like doing all kind of wild shit to me and shit. And like, people still treat me like I'm like super, I have like an innocent type of vibe, I guess, like always. A childlike type of vibe. So always. People always gravitated to me and shit, but,
it's always like, the quiet ones are the worst, bro.
Some for real shit. Like, well, like, all, like, we've seen some for real shit, people. Like, the shit we were saying, we trying to motivate and try to help y'all see the bigger picture of shit, because it's some wild shit going on, man.
Are you genuinely trying to do that? Because I've given up.
I mean, I guess I'm new to the game. We only 10 episodes deep, so.
I just be on there talking my shit, bro. Like, I guess, I've lost faith. So be real with you, Sean.
Where has your faith gone? Well, please tell us.
Dog, like, I see shit, bro. I just be like, man, like, what's wrong with, like, when he says weirdos, when he's talking about weirdos, bro, like I said, that's all I see is weirdos, bro. Like, niggas be on some real weirdo shit.
By the way, people think I'm weird the most, by the way, like,
of course.
Until they talk to me. Then they're like, okay, I see what this, I mean, I see what he's doing.
When you have a bunch of sheep, and I hate to use this analogy, but it's a lot of motherfuckers out here sheep, bro. So when they see a black sheep, like, it's weird to them, but I mean, in all honesty, I mean, the black sheep is just like y'all. He's just like, you know, he moves a little different, thinks a little different. That's why I don't agree with you on the free thinking thing, bro.
Go ahead. I was waiting for this.
That's why I came here, dog. Like,
wasn't there a great debate you was telling me about?
Yeah,
bro?
This is it. This is all it. Right, okay. It's about to come.
Talk that shit. No boundaries. Let's say there's no boundaries bullshit, real quick. Go ahead.
Like, to me, I think. I mean, because you're the linguistics guy. Like, you take words and you really take them for the meaning, right? So when you said free of thought, it kind of confused me. So I got to know what you mean when you say free of thought.
Free thinking is when people try to act like, you know, they're on some, like, free-spirited type shit. Like, they just do shit off their sleeve type shit, like spontaneous type shit.
Like these just live type posts.
Free of thought, I'm saying they not thinking at all. They act like they're thinking, but there's no actual thought going on. Like, it's some
aimless nonsense, bro.
Yeah,
I think I feel you on that, but at the same time, like, obviously Kanye West is a perfect example. I think Kanye has always been Kanye, bro. I don't think he's ever changed. I think when I hear him say free thinking, I think no matter what, he came to the conclusion that his final thought was his thought. You might think it's just wild and sporadic, but at the same time, I mean, it's really hard to say that because we're not in that man's head. And I never really felt that. I mean, come on, bro. This nigga went on stage, snatched the mic from Taylor Swift. What was he doing then? Was he free? Was he not thinking? He knew. He was big, bro. Cause this is a Beyonce man here. That's why it's perfect, bro. It's too easy, dog. Come on, Sean. Like, Beyonce should have won the award that year. He thought that through. He went on stage, snatched the mic, and let it be known.
He was also going off of Hennessy.
That amplifies your thoughts.
He done it. He's done that multiple times too.
Yeah. Come on, dog. The George Bush thing, he wasn't high or drunk then, possibly. And he like you said, it's some stupidity to it, but I think they come to that conclusion and they feel like, man, fuck this shit. I'm going to say what needs to be said.
What I'm saying about Kanye is you can't be for the people and marry a Kardashian. That's a conflict of interest. It's fucking impossible. For instance, like, you were saying, like, the Kardashians are the American dream. They are the American dream for, like, dusty niggas. Real niggas, like, for instance, you were never going to hear a white man glorifying Kim Kardashian. You're never gonna hear a white man aspiring to sleep with Kim Kardashian publicly type shit. Like,
publicly.
You don't hear white people praising Kim Kardashian. It's publicly. Always like lower level, like dusty black man type shit.
Who cut them checks?
Nah, but like he said publicly, bro, there's a lot of guys like that are moving behind the scenes, bro. I passed by like a massage parlor right down the street from my house, bro.
Sure, but
Maserati
I'm saying,
shits and all that stuff outside.
I'm talking about marriage material. Like, there's no white man aspiring to marry Kim Kardashian.
So whose fault is that, though?
But that's what I'm saying. I don't consider Kim Kardashian, the Kardashians, the American dream. It's just for like dusty cats. It's the American dream for dusty motherfuckers.
You're right. You're right. I feel like if you have sense, but at the end of the day, Sean, common sense ain't that common, bro.
For sure. That's why.
So, I agree with you on that. For sure. Like, there, I feel like we went from the American dream being the Cosbys to the Kardashians. It's sad as fuck. But that's the, like, that's what I'm talking about. That's the world we live in.
You think Bill Cosby tarnished the Cosbys with his, with everything coming to light?
Man, this, when we start talking about Hollywood period, though, bro, like, Hollywood be on some funny shit.
It's been dark for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
For a very long time.
I think the nail for me was when Ashton Kutcher had was trying to basically expose Demi Moore.
Yeah.
And, like, there was, like, actual footage of her kissing that little boy, like, that little nigga with the glasses. And I'm like, this is fucking weird.
Wait, like, what?
He was a child. Man, fuck that. Just pay it back to Macaulay Culkin, bro. Like, when
he was on Joe Rogan's podcast recently, by the way.
Who?
Macaulay Culkin.
He's still alive?
Yeah.
I'm surprised, bro. As much mental damage as Hollywood has done to him.
He looks crazy as cat shit, but go ahead, Will.
But it's funny because, you know, Mila Kunis and Macaulay had that thing, and now Mila Kunis is back with Ashton. So, like, there's a pedal ring that's been going on that cat's just been ignoring. And if you really just watch, dog, if you really watch Hollywood, like, one of my favorite shows on Netflix is Stranger Things.
Yeah.
But Millie Bobby, bro, like, that, what's going on with her? Her transition from being just a little sweet little girl, 11 on season one, to what she is now, the shit's creepy, bro. Like, I know some grown man is fondling her. I know it. And they're cool with that shit in Hollywood. And it's always been like that.
I was looking at the interviews and shit they were having, like, for Stranger Things, and it was like some creepy things that were said inside the little interviews and shit. You know what I'm talking about? Like, the after show interviews and shit?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dog, the way they treat those kids, like, bro, my son's 14, bro. I don't talk down to my son. But I still talk to him like he's a 14-year-old, meaning like I know
you're a fucking kid, bro.
Yeah, there are things you don't understand. But these kids, bro, they talk like grown-ups, dog. They talk like 21, 22-year-olds.
Like they've experienced some shit.
Because they have. They have.
Yeah, that's facts. That's facts.
They're
literally
they're behind the scenes experiencing things to me that they shouldn't be experiencing at their age. But it's all for the money.
I know Ashton Kutcher's wife. She's how many years younger than him?
You talking about Mila?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was that big of a gap.
Nah, bro.
It's a gap?
It's a gap. Mm. I don't know how big of a gap, but it might be like four or five years maybe.
Okay.
What you saying? She's younger?
Yeah. She's definitely younger because she was like 14 or 15 whenever she was on that 70s show.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He was already an adult. He was already a grown-ass man.
Yeah, I think he was already in his 20s.
Yeah.
By that time.
You're right.
That sounds about right.
So about 6 or 7 years probably. But people give Jay-Z and Beyonce that pass, so... Once you're an adult, so I don't really be tripping about that shit. I can't really no more.
Who do you feel like holds the most weight in that relationship, Jay-Z or Beyonce?
Beyonce's, her beehive is strong as fuck, dog. Women outnumber men.
That's the funny thing. Like, people always act like Jay-Z made Beyonce. I'm like, dog, nah, Beyonce was doing worldwide tours when she was a fucking kid.
Destiny's Child made Beyonce.
Destiny's Child definitely made Beyonce.
Dog, when she was overseas and shit, people... Like, overseas people would always be like, Beyonce's boyfriend, singer, Jay-Z. Like, they would call him a singer overseas shit.
Yeah, but even Jay be saying that shit, though. He be like, nah, bro, she got her own shit. He don't take credit for that.
No, but I'm talking about people. Like, people, a lot of men and shit act like Jay-Z made Beyonce. I'm like, dog, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Beyonce is like 3 times bigger than Jay-Z. But he's made bigger business deals.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why he's big.
In terms of artistry, Beyonce is like... Three to five times bigger than Jay-Z.
Even close. His tenure's longer, though.
Of course.
His tenure's longer, but her reach is wider.
Yeah,
it's not even close.
They definitely catapulted each other. I mean, they both was fucking with Michael Jackson.
For sure. I mean, that's like, of course, the epitome of a power couple in hip-hop anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But like I said on the show, man, I felt like this is my question to y'all. Like, how do y'all feel about what rich people do with their money? Like somebody posted the other day, I was looking at something that Jeff Bezos, is that, am I saying it right?
Yeah.
From Amazon. I think he makes like $4 million an hour. So like...
What the fuck, dog?
So with knowing that this man makes $4 million an hour, like, that's his money. Like, what do you feel, though? Do you feel like he owes you anything?
No. Not necessarily.
Not really. It's kind of weird, dog. Like, I don't know. Amazon kind of hoeing people. He owes it to his people. He don't pay his own workers and shit. Like, these motherfuckers peeing in bottles and shit because they scared to take breaks because that shit coming all day, them packages and shit.
For real?
They basically own...
I didn't know that.
Amazon basically owns the post office. the post office is only open basically to deliver to Amazon packages.
Yeah.
And they can't keep up with it there, because in order to keep that deal, they basically only charge them the amount it costs to pay the workers type shit. So the post office is not making any money off the Amazon deal. Damn. And now Amazon has a new thing to where you can give them $10,000 and you could work for Amazon directly. And you get like, I think you start off with 3 trucks and then you got to work your way up to like 10 or some shit.
Somebody was telling me about that. They basically said you can get their trucks.
And you could work your way up to like 100 employees or something like that. Wow. And you can make.
So you can franchise.
You're not really owning a company though. You're basically a glorified supervisor. You're paying Amazon to be a supervisor.
So it's like Herbalife, but on a wider scale?
I mean, it's way bigger because, I mean, Amazon is like...
Like, just for, like, simplistic shit, like, that's basically what it is, a pyramid scheme?
Amazon, it's not a pyramid scheme. I'm just saying you don't have as much ownership as it sounds, though. You're really just a glorified supervisor if you really look at it.
Because you're still moving their product.
It's kind of like Chick-fil-A. You have to follow all the rules for Chick-fil-A to own one. You have to work at Chick-fil-A for a year before you can own the Chick-fil-A. All that kind of shit.
Damn, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what I... Like, Chick-fil-A is a fucking cult. Y'all think I'm playing.
Oh, no. Let me tell you something, man. I've never liked Chick-fil-A. I never liked Chick-fil-A. The food is straight.
Yeah.
The food is straight on the magnitude of... I got to get 2 chicken sandwiches, bro, because they food don't fill me up. That shit pisses me off.
I'm telling y'all got to fuck with them chicken wraps, man. I'm sorry. They're number 8.
The chicken... I imagine that's probably a lot more carbs and shit, but... The number eight is probably better. But my thing is, man, the way that they get those people to come in there with the my pleasure and the smile on their faces, bro, like, I got to go through one of their interview processes to see what they do. So I think they get brainwashed. They have to, dog. You don't hear shit about Chick-fil-A washers doing any weird shit.
Dog, I told y'all, dog. I'm terrified for these people. Dog. Dog.
It's like Get Out.
If you look at their eyes, dog, there's no content behind their eyes. Like, they're dead behind the eyes. It's like, what are y'all doing? What are they doing to y'all? They're brainwashing these people, man.
How many points you got, bro?
Chick-fil-A points?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't even know that
was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
You got like a card or some shit?
They just download the app, bro. I mean, as much as you go, bro, you need to go ahead and download the app, bro.
I might as well.
I'm out here promoting Chick-fil-A. What the fuck am I doing? Sure. But a lot of places are doing that shit, though, because they're starting to realize that a lot of people are starting to try to get on this health binge, so people are, like, moving away from fast food. Yeah. So that's the way to kind of promote it.
They say millennials are killing restaurants and shit.
Millennials are killing a lot. Sit-down
restaurants.
Millennials are killing a lot because millennials are going against the grain on almost everything. That's the culture, bro.
A lot of this shit was trash from the beginning, though. Like, I never liked restaurants. I hate restaurants. The sit-down restaurants aren't even convenient to me. Like, I got to drive to the restaurant. I got to wait 30 minutes for the table. Yeah. I got to wait 30 minutes for the food. Then I got to pay your fucking employees.
And then you expect a tip.
That's what I mean. Like, I got to pay your employees. Yeah. You not paying? I got to pay them? Like, dog,
that shit
much.
Crazy. Nobody argues about that shit. I'm like, dog.
I'm doing all the work.
McDonald's workers arguing. Like, they don't have shit compared to somebody, a chick that works at Twin Peaks that's only getting $3.75 an hour. Like, nobody's paying attention to that shit. Just pay them what they deserve. That way, we don't got to tip them.
But depending on the chick, bro, like, there's some people that be out there hustling, dog. They be making, like, $5,000 to $1,000 in a weekend, especially if the place is popping.
That's to me, that's like LeBron James. Like, niggas just ain't, every nigga ain't born 6'8", 240 pounds. Like, everybody doesn't have that ability or that natural talent. So that girl that does that, she's just business savvy and she's probably hella attractive.
That's what I'm saying. Because a lot of my homeboy's ex-girlfriend used to work there, bro. So the way that it would be, because we would go there just to chill, just because we knew her. And we would see, like, she had regulars, bro, because they fuck with her service, quote unquote.
That's real. I mean,
that's what I'm saying,
and that
bro.
And that one chick could fuck it up for everybody. Like, well, she's making $500 to $1,000. Why y'all can't do it?
Exactly. And that's how they looking at these people.
That's fucked up.
But they know the real truth. They just, you know,
play dumb.
Yeah, they looking at it like, okay, you should be grateful to have this job because we're giving you this opportunity to make X amount of dollars.
Yeah. Dang, that's crazy.
So you can't negotiate like what I'm paying you. You need to make your own shit because we got several other people that are doing it. Why can't you?
I can't work directly with customers. Customers are garbage. I fucking hate customers.
I can't wait till I can quit my job, bro.
I do that shit 8 hours a day, Sean. That shit is tough.
Same.
Customers.
Y'all work together?
We used to. Yeah. We used to. But now I work at a bank.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you were about to say you work in the office. Okay, at a bank, okay.
Yeah.
You travel a lot, Sean?
I was, yeah.
Okay.
With my previous job.
Okay, okay.
But I still try to travel on my own. I haven't recently, but I travel a lot, though.
Okay, okay. But yeah, I mean, to bring it back full circle, man, I mean, I feel like, yeah, like I said, you're right when it comes to Kardashians. They're not the American dream, but I say full circle because I just think about capitalism. Yeah. And I feel like that's the reason I bring up Jeff Bezos, because I'm like, when it comes down to capitalism, do you really feel like the eye on the green, like the eye on the dollar, the almighty dollar, like that's what drives a lot of people these days?
That's actually what I want to ask you. Like, what is your relationship with money? How do you feel about money?
Man, that's tough, bro. Like, I don't let it consume. At one time, I would say in my mid-20s, it consumed me. Like, that was all I thought about. Like, I had to get it. But, like, once, like, I got settled down and, like, I realized, I mean, keep a job and, like, don't spend money on dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's my relationship with money. Like, get what I can afford. And eventually, like, you'll have, like, little breaks where you're able to make a little more money here and there. I mean, I make it. Like, I don't let it consume me. So my relationship with money is basically, you know, get it, but don't do no dumb shit to get it. That's my advice to anybody. Like, if you see yourself doing some dumb shit to get money, it ain't worth it, bro.
That's basically how I look at it too. Especially now having a daughter. Yeah, man.
You paying her like a little dollar sign? Fucking sexist animal.
Hey, bro. She's pretty cute, nah. Dog. I might get her in like some commercials or something one day. But nah, yeah, bro. Basically, realized I was making a little bit less. I was making more back then than what I was making probably earlier this year, and I was just like, "What the fuck did I do with all that money, bro?" Because now that I have a kid, and I was making a lot more happen with
little money,
with little amounts, I was just like, yeah, bro, my priorities were all fucked.
Yeah, that's usually what happens when you're single and you're just making money. You're doing whatever.
Yeah, you just burn through it like it's nothing.
Not this guy, though. This motherfucker's just, he's just always just, I hate you, Sean. He's just a prioritizing bastard.
What's that story, bro? The ant and the cricket? Like, the ant stored up everything and then the cricket ran out of everything? He's definitely the ant, bro.
Oh, man.
I have a weird relationship with money. Like, I don't give a fuck about money. I kind of despise money. Like, I'm kind
of
like,
it's a piece of paper, bro. That's crazy.
I fucking hate money, dog. Money is like,
with all white people on them.
It's, man, just, it's fucked up, dog. Like, I only have money basically to fund the podcast type shit. Outside of that, I really don't give a fuck.
I'm going to stop you there. Like, nowadays, like, my money is to fund hobbies. Like, if I, shit that I appreciate, I'll spend money on. But like clothes and shit, I buy clothes for my kid. Like, clothes for me, I'll get them every now and then, but, like, that shit really don't matter no more. But to fund hobbies, the shit that makes me personally happy.
Yeah. Now Will a workout star, so now he don't ever have a fucking shirt on and shit.
Oh, like, this guy.
He's sitting on my couch without a shirt on right now. This shit's crazy.
Get the fuck out of here, dog.
It's like, dog, it's children over here, dog. Like, straight put a fucking up, shirt
bro.
On.
Is that baby oil, dog? What's wrong with you?
The fuck?
No, but that's, I mean, shit, I don't even spend a lot of money on that. That's $30 a month, but anyways.
This money shit, it kind of pisses me off because it kind of sets a divide between all the people you know. All the people I know are worried about money. Man. They're stressing me out about me not worried about money type shit. Like, I was having problems with my parents and shit like that because they just want me to be safe type shit. And I'm like, I don't want to be safe. Like, I do what the fuck I want to do. I've been doing what the fuck I want to do since I was a kid. Like, nobody could ever tell me shit. And it's always going to be that way.
That's a fact.
Like, I hung around the wildest motherfuckers ever, and I never did a lot of the shit that they did. I'm telling you. Like,
just sat back and watched.
Not even necessarily watched, but, like, I might have been there. And yeah, like you say, like, I guess watched, but...
It didn't move
you. Observed.
I could tell it didn't move you. Like, it's like, whatever.
Like, all of them smoked. All of them drank. I've never smoked. I've never drank. It was just a lot of shit. Like, a lot of them loved the clubs and shit. Like, I might drop y'all off at the club, but I left. Like,
straight up.
I didn't go type shit. And like I was saying, I was hanging around the wildest cast about, like, the stripper shit and all that. And it just kind of paints a different picture. I just can't fuck with it, man. I just got to do what the fuck I want to do. And when it comes back to money, it's just that it kind of taints a lot of shit. When money gets involved, it fucks everything up.
It really does.
Bro, this man
everything
blew my mind. Pause. back when I first met him, because I was going out a whole lot back then. And like you said, when you're single and you just making more money, you just do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was just like, bro, you want to hit the spot? He's like, nah, I don't go out like that. And I was like, well, bro, what the fuck do you do for fun? Or how do you spend your money? He was just like, dog, why would I spend money on a drink that's going to just last me that fucking maybe 5 minutes when I could just spend it on something else that could last me 20 years? Yeah. I was just like, I ain't never thought about it like that, dog. All right, I'll see you later, bro.
Because like I say, like everything I've ever bought, like I could literally go to like a spot and pull it out and show it to you. Like I got all the shit that I had from 20 years ago type shit.
Yeah,
like, I could pull clothes out from 20 years ago. I could pull shoes out from 20 years ago. I could pull fucking albums and all this other bullshit. Fucking video game consoles and all this shit. I could pull all this shit out, but like, you can't pull an empty beer bottle out. You can't pull a fucking $100 fucking deal, $100 meal from a restaurant. You can't pull that back out.
That's why people take pictures of that shit now.
That's a good point.
it's sad though. It's still just
it's uncomforting, bro.
It's instant gratification. That's the era we stay in. It's all about I'm gonna spend my money. I want to feel good now. That's kind of how they look at it.
And also,
and I'm gonna let people know how I'm living.
Yeah, basically.
We probably got two more topics and we'll end it. But Will brung up a point that he didn't know I listened to Houston music. There was actually a point of all in my life to where I was starting to despise Houston and the music and shit, because it was like people were losing their lives behind this shit. Like the whole Chapman Screw shit, I started hating Chapman Screw music because people were dying and shit from, like, you know, the lean and shit.
The lean, yeah, that shit's fucked up.
And not even just from that, like people getting robbed for the lean, that's murders and all that kind of shit. It's just a lot of wild shit behind it to where I just got turned off from the music. And also, just from a quality standpoint, the music started getting real stagnant and shit. And then, out of nowhere, here comes A$AP Rocky. A$AP Rocky actually saved Houston in a roundabout way.
Him and Drake, or just A$AP?
I would say A$AP.
Okay.
Because he was the catalyst, and he was the last straw for Houston.
Gotcha.
What I mean by that is, Drake and others came in, and they kind of vultured the music. They took over the music. They didn't put any Houston artists on it, and they just ran off with all the cash. They tolerated it from Drake because of the J Prince stamp. But then A$AP Rocky came in the game, and he did the same thing. And then that's when Houston artists was like, man, all these motherfuckers taking our sound and making millions of dollars, and we still in the hood and shit.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you know, like, our sound started picking back up and shit, and people started getting more influenced and more inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like that's when the music came back and picked up, and now you got your Travis Scott's and you got all this kind of shit.
Travis Scott's been out since... Travis Scott and Drake have really been out about the same amount of time. Travis Scott's just been behind the scenes.
Nah.
Because he got signed in like 07, 08 to Grand Hustle, if I'm not mistaken.
He did, but his sound was completely different, though.
He was
sounding like... I can't remember who it was, but he wasn't sounding like he does now. But that's another thing.
This Astroworld shit is his most Houston-oriented shit ever.
That was the other topic. How do y'all feel about the A$AP Rocky and Travis Scott comparisons that people always come back to?
Well, Travis is from here, bro. This is home. So, of course, I'm going to take his side over A$AP Rocky any day.
So you don't think he got any inspiration from A$AP Rocky?
Sound-wise, no. Looks-wise, hey, bro, if he wants to dress the same as that man, yeah. But nah, because A$AP Rocky raps. He raps, bro. So
what you think about it? Well, I know you go to Adele concerts and shit, so you don't.
Wait, you go to Adele concerts, dog?
I would. Like, before I went to a Travis Scott or an A$AP concert, bro. Like, I saw Travis live. I actually saw Travis live like 2 weeks ago. Him, Nipsey, and Meek were out here.
You got a lot of energy, huh?
That's it, bro. Like, I feel like I can't listen to his music on my own. I'd rather see him perform it, because his music, it's an energy type of music. He has a rager type of music. And I feel like that's the case with a lot of these artists. I feel like I didn't like Odd Future at first. But when I actually went to see, I saw them at the first time I saw Travis, the first time I heard Earl, Like, I actually saw them perform their music, and it just felt better and it sounded better. So to me, I'm always pretty much say that they have a certain type of mood music.
Yeah.
But no matter what anybody says to me, the comparisons between ASAP and Travis, you know, they may be sort of accurate, but at the same time, like, I don't think any of them really sound like they're from Houston, though. Like, come on, like,
I'll agree with that.
Like, I really feel like, if anything, it's a mixture of Atlanta and Houston and some New York in there. Because when I think of Houston, a Houston rapper, bro, like, Big Crit probably is the most Houston rapper that's not from Houston.
Straight up. Like, he sounds like a modern day Pimp C.
Exactly. You know, and Big Crit's one of my favorites, bro.
A lot of people were mad about that too, loosely.
But I thought Pimp C know him?
I don't think so.
I think he
already passed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, by the time he got put on, because he didn't get on till like 2010, 2011.
Okay.
When he started getting a real big buzz.
I saw him and Wale at Warehouse, I want to say in 10 or 9. And
I would have went to that Wale shit.
Oh, that was when he had the fade. Like, it was cool, bro. Like, he like I said, I didn't need him. I'm a big Seinfeld fan. It was easy for me to like Wale. His antics off the mic, like Sean said, I don't got time for that shit, bro. So y'all say he's calmed down, but I just appreciate his music. His last little EP he dropped, it was cool to me. Like, I like the energy behind it. I just need niggas to get back to the music. Some niggas just don't do that no more. Niggas are always trying to make a storyline behind some
shit. They out here trying to be the next Kardashian, bro.
Pretty much.
The American dream.
that's fucked up, dog. I mean, niggas, everybody just want to be on just cause, bro. That's what it is, man. Cause at the end of the day, if you have a lot of people following you, it's a better chance that you're gonna make more money.
That's the crazy thing about this podcast. I went straight from no social media to a podcast. I went from not sharing anything to telling people personally my goddamn business.
Yeah.
But I feel like it comes off better on the podcast, but it's weird. Like, it's weird when people come up to me and tell me they heard the show or some shit. Like, that shit is crazy to me.
Yeah, my homeboy hit me yesterday, or the day before yesterday. He was like, dog, fuck all that other shit. When you dropping another episode?
Exactly.
I was just like, oh.
If we don't have an episode, blame Mike. Mike is trash.
I don't want to hold y'all up, but this is the last thing I want to say, though. Like, so you wouldn't do it by yourself? Like, y'all listen to podcasts where niggas is just them. How y'all feel about solo podcasts? And I'm not trying to tell them to kick you off the show.
Nah. Now, I definitely thought about killing Mike and, you know, just firing him and shit, of course.
Yeah, bro.
Nah, but I feel like I could pull that off, but it's not something that I want to do because I'm like a spontaneous person. Like, I'm quick-witted and shit. So if somebody brings up something that I normally wouldn't say, I could bounce off that and say some shit that I probably would have never said by myself. I feel like it's better content-wise with another person, at least one other person.
At least one other person. Yeah, gotcha. I mean, y'all niggas doing y'all thing, man. But definitely, you know, me and Jay, you know, that's the co-host I have. We never record at the same place. Like, it's either my place, his place. We went to libraries. Like, straight up, bro, like, we had to make adjustments, like, in order to make sure that it was convenient for him. Sometimes our guests don't want to drive all the way. He stays in the energy corridor. Sometimes our guests don't want to drive out there. Like I told you, like, we had a guest in this area. But sometimes our guests don't want to drive, bro, so.
That's how I feel about this area. Like, most people don't live in this area, so I feel like I live, like, in the middle of nowhere. And I feel like everybody's probably like damn near an hour away.
Oh, no, you definitely
outside
do,
of y'all
bro.
Too.
Yeah, I stay in the JB area.
And oh, okay.
I'm actually from the Energy Corridor area.
Oh, okay.
I went to West Side.
Oh, yeah, he stays across the street from West Side.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he stays across the street from West
Side. I used to live in those apartments, bro.
Madeira?
Nah. Okay. The older ones, the villages, next to the fire station.
Oh, okay, that's what's up. Yeah, that's what we record at about 75% of our shows.
Yeah,
that's
bro.
What's up, man. How many episodes y'all have now?
I think we're at 107.
Okay.
108.
Damn.
Oh, bro, yeah.
We did say 2 years, so.
Yeah, it took
they
us.
Out there in the streets.
So we have probably one episode that's like just constantly doing numbers, and this shit is shocking to this day because it's like you said, we don't know what people feel about the episode, but we know they keep clicking on that bit, so that's all that matters. But I guarantee you, man, by the time, consistency is always going to win. By the time y'all at like episode 30, you're going to be like, you're not going to be sitting here saying our numbers are low. You're going like, okay, our numbers are where it's supposed to be at.
Yeah, because people are going to see they're going to see a library of shit
exactly.
that they can just
more,
choose
more to
from.
Listen to.
Yeah.
For sure, because like, I do feel like people like it. We've been getting nothing but like positive feedback for the most part that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people fuck with it. It's just that nobody really knows. Like, I'm a fucking weirdo. Like, nobody
in a good way though.
Nobody who knows me really even knows that I do this. I haven't even told anybody really yet. I've been more focused on the quality.
That's why.
Than yeah. telling people about it and shit. Like, I wanted
perfectionist.
God. It's not even that it has to be perfect. It just has to be good. Like, I'd be damn near about to delete the episodes and shit. Like, all the ones for my cousin, I damn near deleted them shits. Not even because they weren't good. It's just that the whole stigma. But the streets are the streets, so I don't hide real shit. I let all that shit go. It's history. But, you know, emotionally, when I was, you know, pissed off, I wanted this off all that shit. I damn near deleted all the episodes.
Bro, this man was mad for like a month and a half, dog.
Damn.
It's very hard to get me mad. It's very hard to get me want to fight somebody. You know?
This man was angry.
I haven't had a fight since like the fifth grade. Like, it takes a lot to get me to fight somebody. So for me to want to put hands on this man, my own blood, my own cousin, it's some real shit. Because I didn't just lose a co-host. I lost a cousin. Like, I can never really talk to him again based off this type of shit that you did. Because he knows what I risked to create this podcast. So for you to hold me knowing what I put on the line, that's some unforgivable shit.
Damn.
Unforgivable.
Well, but now we're here though, so it's all good, man.
Positive vibes, bro.
Yeah, man.
And like that, I guess we'll wrap it up unless y'all boys got anything else y'all want to add to the streets. I know you give words of the day and shit. What you call it, Will?
Man, don't disrespect my podcast.
What do y'all call it?
It's called Words of Advice, man.
Do you have any words of advice for our ain't shit listeners? Because I know our listeners ain't shit. Nah, I'm just fucking with y'all.
No, I mean, I guess I'll open up my ears a little more because you told me to listen to Trippie Redd. I didn't listen to Trippie Redd. I'll listen to the Eminem. You know, I open up my ears more. Like, lately I've been kind of... I ain't listen to the Bun B. I ain't listen to shit.
So I haven't heard Bun B shit either.
Yeah. This man's an ear snob. He got like a filter on his ear.
I do.
You only listen to Adele, dog?
Bro, I listen to
Adele and Kanye?
Bro.
Hold on. Wait. Since he likes to make that comparison, are Kanye and Adele the same level of talent?
Who made that comparison?
Kanye.
He said that?
I haven't heard it.
I would slap him.
I wouldn't be surprised, though.
I mean, honestly, I'm going to be real with you. Vocally, nobody's touching Adele right now. That's my stance on that vocally. And as far as like the story behind her shit, she takes her time. That's why I actually appreciate how Kendrick releases music. He takes his time. I think the way J. Cole and Drake do things, I feel like they should chill. I feel Rihanna, perfect example. Rihanna's not that good, but she doesn't put out a fucking barrage of music and it's just too much. You get Rihanna a little bit, then she fades away. When next time Rihanna drops something, she's going to break the internet.
You get a chance to miss her.
Exactly. And that's why I appreciate it by Adele, because you get a chance to miss her, and then her vocal range is fucking ridiculous. She the closest to Whitney, bro. I'm sorry. Whitney and Mariah.
Whitney before the crack or
pre-crack?
Speaking of, bro, Bobby said he's about to put hands on Kanye if he ever seen him.
Oh, yeah. Well deserved.
If Bobby Brown has to put hands on you,
yeah.
Where has your life gone? You're garbage.
I don't need the antics. I don't need the antics, bro. Just give me music, bro. I know Kanye's better than that. If Eminem can resurrect himself from Revival, which was not well received, I know Kanye can, bro. He can do it. He got Ghost Rider, so it shouldn't be a problem.
Hey, man. And this is When We Feel Like It podcast, where we broadcast.
When we feel like it.
Gone.
Peace.